Praise the name of the Lord. This month is Valentine's month. I'm going to be talking about hearts every Sunday from various different perspectives. And today we're going to talk about a perfect heart. And we're going to look in some scriptures just to see what the Bible says about a perfect heart. Now, God would not, in His Word, call us repeatedly to a perfect heart if it was something that was outside of our reach. Amen. If He calls us to it, then it's something that we can be aspiring to and reaching for. And I trust that your heart will be stirred today to see the possibilities that there are. And we're going to start with a verse in Genesis 17 in verse number 1, because this was under the covenant that God made with Abraham. And in this wonderful covenant, when He gave to Abraham all the wonderful promises about him and about his posterity, about his heritage, about his sons and daughters, and how that God was going to bless them. It starts with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 17. So it's a part of this faith covenant, this Abrahamic covenant between God and Abraham. And it starts here in verse number 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. Amen. There's the beginning. It's the first place that I know of in the scripture where Abraham was commanded, be perfect. Have a perfect heart toward God. And then He also spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 18 in verse 13. I'll just read the first part of that verse. You shall be perfect with Jehovah your God. That we are even expanded it from Abraham to all of the children of Israel, calling them to this same level of perfection. And then David in Psalm 101 in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Amen. I will walk with a perfect heart. And then David, who aspired continuously, the Bible says that he had a heart that was after God. He was always pursuing the will of God. He wanted his heart to be like the heart of God. He was always pursuing the things of the Lord. But David obviously wasn't perfect. Solomon failed in his desire for this perfect heart. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11 in verse 4, for it happened when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. So Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom and the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of Jehovah and did not go fully after Jehovah like his father David. And you really get a little bit of an insight there as to really what it means to follow God with a perfect heart in this failure of Solomon, is that he did not go fully after the heart of God. He wasn't complete in his commitment, in his dedication to the Lord. And one more verse is in Matthew 5 and verse 48, and this is just the commandment of Jesus himself. Therefore, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know what? To know what the standard is that God requires as far as perfection is concerned, that is, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, does that mean that that's something that we can ever reach? We have to all understand that this perfect heart is a heart that is after God. And that this is a journey, not a destination. Brother Bright got all around this subject of perfection in the Sunday school class today, but we're going to just look at it probably from a little bit different perspective here today. Another verse is in Colossians 1 and verse 28, whom we preach, this is the Apostle Paul talking, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So I think we all understand that whenever the command comes to perfection, or what the Apostle Paul is saying, that doesn't mean that we're going to get to some level that we're going to be flawless and never make a mistake and never be, never have any weakness or failure in our life. That's not at all what the command of God is. David, the scripture said, had a perfect heart. He had a heart that was completely after the Lord, but we know that he also committed adultery. We know that in the process of that he had one of his mighty men murdered. And so if you can imagine that this was a man who failed, desperately failed. But when you read Psalm 51, you see that he was a man who wanted to be restored back to God. And he was just crying out to the Lord, Lord, restore me, renew me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I don't want anything between me and my God. And so he repented and he cried out to God, Lord, restore me. I want to know you. I want to get back to that place that I was before my awful sin. And so David was a man after God's heart. He was a man who was pursuing the heart of God. And it is a journey. It's not something that we arrive at some level of perfection. John Wesley called it constant obedience. Constant obedience. A perfect heart that is always responsive to God. A heart that is always attentive, in tune with the Lord and with the dealings of the Lord. Always tuned in, listening for the voice of the Lord. We live in a world that's so noisy. There's so many things going on that you can't hardly get physical rest. And you certainly can hardly find rest for your soul. A quiet time where you can just tune in to the things of the Lord. You have to, like Jesus did, he pulled himself aside from the crowds. He pulled himself away from all of the multitudes of people who were constantly pulling at him so that he could find a place where he could hear the voice of God. Amen. A perfect heart is a person who is aspiring to be more like the Lord, and you are determined to live in constant obedience to the voice of the Lord, and so you're listening to God, and you're listening for Him, and you're in tune to the voice of the Lord. Amen. You know how that your kids can do? Your kids are amazing. Actually, everybody's pretty much amazing at being able to do this. But we have this wonderful ability to tune out things that we don't want to hear and to tune into things that we probably shouldn't hear. Amen. You've probably all had this experience where a child or a young person, and they heard things, they overheard things that you didn't want them to hear, or that you experience times when you told them and you told them and you told them in every way that you can imagine, every possible tone that you can imagine. You reminded them and reminded them and only to hear them say, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear what you had to say. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that you said that. We have this natural ability. And if it's true in the natural, you can be sure that it's true of the things of God and of the spirit of a man. But really, a heart that's perfect toward God is a heart that is listening for God's voice. Amen. We're tuning in. Elijah, he needed to hear the voice of the Lord. You remember there in 1 Kings chapter 19, and he hears the word, go forth, stand on the mountains before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire was a still, small voice. And that was the voice of the Lord God speaking. It is important, I think, for the person who desires to have a heart, perfect heart after God, that you are willing to tune out so many other things. And we live in a noisy world. We live in a world where it's very difficult to find a place that's quiet. But even in your heart and your spirit, you can hear the voice of the Lord if you'll get quiet before Him. If you'll just become attentive to the voice of the Lord, you can hear His voice. Amen. He is speaking. He is communicating. But we just have to be in that place where we can hear. Do you know that there are all kinds of inaudible sounds that are going on right now, right here in this room? We don't hear them because they're being broadcast over waves and frequencies that our natural ear can't hear them. That's why that you have to have a radio tuner, a radio receiver, or some other device that receives, such as a TV, or all kinds of different things, even your cell phones and all these types of signals that are being sent through the airwaves, and you can't hear them unless you have a receiver that will allow you to tune into them. Amen. Do you know that when you get born again, and when you are filled with the Spirit and you are in the Word of God, that you have this spiritual sensitivity. You have this ability to tune in to the things of God. That the world, they don't hear it. They don't hear it. They don't receive it. They don't understand it. They're not even interested in it. But because you're a person born of the Spirit of God, you have this God-given receiver that's been built into your heart and into your spirit, that you can hear the voice of God. You can hear the word of the Lord. And you can receive the things that you need. If you have a heart that's after God, then you can truly hear the Lord. You can hear His voice. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the Lord has given to us. Let me just mention a few things about a perfect heart. A perfect heart is, number one, a heart that is searchable. It's searchable. It is open and available to be examined by the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God. Know my heart. This is the prayer of the psalmist, which again illustrates the fact that he is a man that's after God. So he opens up his life, he opens up his heart, and invites the Lord to search him. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if any wicked way is in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Are you willing to allow the Lord to come into your life and to truly turn the light on, the bright light of truth, the bright light of the Holy Spirit, to search you, to search your heart, and to reveal those areas of your heart that are not perfect before Him? A perfect heart is going to be searchable. It's going to be willing to let God to have access to every area of your life. You're not just going to have certain areas that you allow Him access to, but you're going to allow the Lord to deal with you and to speak to you about every detail of your life. Amen, because your heart is perfect toward the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now let's let that sink in just a minute. The writer, the prophet Jeremiah is saying, there's nothing more deceitful in this world than your own heart. That's what he's saying. Let it sink in just a little bit. Your heart is the most deceitful thing in this world and in your life. Your own heart. You say, well, that's kind of scary. It is a frightening thing. That's why that you don't leave your heart open to just anything. You don't make yourself available and accessible to just anything. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So let's take it a little further. Your heart is the most deceitful thing in your life, and it is the most desperately wicked thing in your life. Wow, that is bad. That is bad. Potentially, you have within your own life the ability, the capacity to self-destruct. If you leave yourself to yourself, who can know it? And then the answer comes, only the Lord knows. Only the Lord knows your heart. You don't know your own heart because your heart is a deceiver. Your own heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. It is only the Lord. That's why that we are to constantly, regularly bring ourselves into the presence of the Lord. Constantly being exposed to the word of the Lord, both in our own personal time with the word and the teaching and the preaching of the word of the Lord, because your heart is deceitful. Your heart is desperately wicked. You can't even know or discern the potential wickedness or the evil ways of your own heart. The only thing that can bring your heart into check is the word of God, the truth of God. That's the only thing that can. And that's why that many times that you'll be maybe studying the Bible or in a church service, in a Sunday school class, and the word of God speaks to you and speaks directly to your life and to your problem and your need. Don't turn away from that. Listen, be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord speak to you in the circumstance that you're in, because you need to have, if you're going to have a heart that's perfect toward the Lord, you're going to have to open your heart to be searched by God, by truth, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Hebrew for this phrase is, I penetrate, I examine deeply. That's what God does by His Holy Spirit. That's what He does through the power of His Word. He goes deep. He probes deep into the hidden areas of your heart. And He examines very, very deeply the areas of your life that you're going to overlook because you're easily deceived. Amen. Amen. You're going to overlook it. You're going to excuse it. I've used this as an illustration before, and it's very, very accurate, but I don't know how you feel, but all of us are pretty good shower singers, aren't we? We do pretty well in the shower. But if I get up in the pulpit and I sing a little chorus and later on I hear the recording of it, I say, turn it off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Because what it does is that recording reveals all the little failures, all the intonation and the weaknesses in the voice and everything. The recording, it just reveals it just as it is. And by the way, most of these professional recordings today that are made, you may listen and hear these singers and think, wow, they're so great. But today they have such ability, computerized ability, that they can take your voice and the little intonation that your voice might make, and they can just bring that up on the computer and just straighten it right out and make you sound good. That's pretty neat, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is when you make your heart open to examination by God and by His Word, you're not going to like what you see. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. Oh, how many times have we sat in the pew of a church when the preacher was preaching, and this has happened to me not just a few times, but many times, that I've sat in a service and hearing the word of the Lord go forth, and suddenly the Spirit of God is talking to me personally, and He's pointing out my own need and my own weakness and my own failure. And I could just say, oh, let's pass that on to those behind me. But in reality, what I need to do is be in tune to the voice of the Lord, because God is by His word trying to talk with me and deal with me and to correct those areas of my life. Amen. And that's what God does. He searches the heart. He tries the rein. He wants to work in your life. He wants to deal with you. But you'll never have a perfect heart if you're not willing to open your heart to the examination of the word of truth and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hearts and a pure heart, who hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the best blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Amen. I was listening to a message some time back, some weeks back, Brother David Wilkerson's message. He was talking about, and this was probably many, many years ago, it was while he was still the full-time pastor there at Times Square Church. And he talked about how that after the services would close, that he would have people come up to him weeping and crying and saying, we have traveled such and such distance to get here because we want to go where our heart is pricked, where we're convicted. We want to sense the presence of the Lord. And we go to so many places and the services and the messages, they don't convict us. They don't prick our hearts. And he said they would repeatedly come. Numbers of them would come service after service after service with tears saying, thank you that you have preached the word of the Lord under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because it has pricked our hearts, and we want that. We don't want to just feel good about the way that we're living. We want to hear the word. We want to hear the truth, and we want to know if we're in error. Amen. God help us to stay true to the word of the Lord and to make ourselves searchable in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that God comes by his Holy Spirit and he wants to search you and deal with you? And no matter how long you've been a Christian or serving the Lord, there are still areas of your life because your heart is so deceitful. Your heart is so bent toward wickedness. And because of that, it always needs to be called into check by the word of truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Number two. First of all, if you want a perfect heart, it has to be searchable. Number two, if you have a perfect heart, it has to trust God completely. You see that phrase is used again and again and again by the writings of the psalmist. In the Lord do I put my trust. Oh my God, I trust in thee. And that phrase is repeated again and again and again and again, because he was saying it's like a child. You know, little children, they're so trusting, aren't they? They're so trusting. You take a little child, they'll jump off of something into the arms of an adult that they trust in. It almost gets to the place that they take chances. And they'll just jump in, even in dangerous situations. And I've had that experience. Kids just jump and you're hoping you can catch them and save them from disaster. But it's because children have this tendency to completely trust. Amen. Do you know that's exactly what God wants you to do? If you want a heart that's perfect toward the Lord, then you're going to have to be willing just to put your life and yourself into the hands of the Lord. Amen. The more we try, the more we try to come up with answers, the more that we attempt to work out things and to come to the conclusion that we think is right, we just get ourselves in bigger trouble. What God wants you to do is trust him. Trust him. Trust that he can lead you. Trust that he can show you the right way. Trust that your steps are ordered of the Lord, and that he will prove himself to you. He'll be faithful to you. He's not going to fail you if you're willing to step out and trust him completely. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your life. Not only were you shaping in your mother's womb, but the plan of God for your life was also a part of that creation. That not only were you physically shaped in your mother's womb, but also you were placed there by the hand of God with a destiny, with a calling, with the future. And you need to trust God. He doesn't make mistakes. He has called you and he's put it in your heart. He's placed it there in your heart. And you're to pursue God, pursue the things of God, and trust God to work out all the details. Amen. Trust him. to work out all these things, everything in every area of your life. Amen. Place him as the Lord over everything, everything that's going on in your life, every event, every situation. Amen. Praise God. I thank the Lord for, I need to throw this in and don't fit in my message at all. But I need to throw this in. I read this yesterday that there's an atheist group that they have a big, huge banner that's going to fly behind a plane this afternoon over the massive stadium at the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. And the sign is going to say, football is more exciting than God. Football is more exciting than God. Well, when I read that, I thought, of all of the church folks that will be more interested in football than they are in God, Lord help us. Now, I don't know how I fit that into a perfect heart, but I believe it fits somewhere in there. Amen. He is Lord over everything that touches our life, every event, every situation, every circumstance. Trust him. Trust him. Number three, a perfect heart is a broken heart. A perfect heart is a broken heart. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I believe that whenever you read a statement such as that, that it also communicates something when you reverse that, where it says that God is near unto that person who has a broken heart. I believe that it also infers that a person who is hard-hearted and unreceptive to God, that God is afar off from that person. That person that is unresponsive and hard in their heart, that person can't get help from God. But a perfect heart is a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such that be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51, excuse me, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If we turn that one around, it means that God despises. He rejects the hard-hearted, the unresponsive. God won't receive. Excuse me. That person, a perfect heart, is a heart that is broken and is contrite before the Lord. You know, we live in such a hard-hearted generation. I don't know what's contributed to them. If it's all the TV programs when there's so much violence and death and blood and all these things, and people have just gotten hard-hearted. But I don't believe that describes at all the perfect heart that we're talking about today. A perfect heart is a heart that is broken before God. Amen. It's a tender heart before the Lord. Brother Brian, one of the reasons why I appreciate so much your teaching is because you're tender before God. You have a broken heart before the Lord. And that speaks volumes to me, that a person is tender before the Lord and is sensitive to the voice of the Lord. A broken heart, a broken spirit. And, you know, whenever your heart is broken, it you know, all of your strength, all of your ability, all of your plans, everything is just down. It's just totally crushed and devastated. That's a broken heart. And you know that many times the Lord, he allows this kind of a brokenness, and he allows, you know, us to go through times where we're just utterly devastated in situations in our life. And that doesn't mean that that's the end of it. It means that God, many times, he takes all those things that are our abilities, our talents, our strengths, and he just destroys all of those things in our life. And then out of our weakness, then he gets glory. Out of our weakness, he does some mighty things, and things are accomplished that we could have never imagined that could ever be accomplished. Hallelujah. He tears down the things in our own life and breaks them down so that he can build something up in us by his grace and by his power and by his Holy Spirit. He builds something up that only he can build. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you may wonder, my hopes, my visions, my plans, my future, all the things that seem so important to me. But all of these things may be torn down. But let me tell you, God can step on the scene and he can begin to build. I think a lot of people in the community were kind of appalled by the fact that they were going to tear down the old Marymount Hospital. When I heard that, I thought, wow, that's a big, nice building. And they're going to tear it down. And the reason, they may have already started, I don't know. Tear that building down. The reason that they say is because that property is more valuable when everything that's there is destroyed. It's a piece of property that's valuable to sell, to build something else on. I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't know what the plans are going to be, but I think it does illustrate for us the fact that many times God destroys the things in our life that we have leaned on and we trust in, and the things in our life that were our self-confidence, and the things that are in our life that we have put our complete trust in, our own talents, our own abilities, all of these things down, crushed, destroyed, because God wants to build something up in its place, something great, something wonderful. Amen. And by the way, God, it's only Satan that's in the business of destruction just for destruction's sake. He destroys for that to be the final thing. Destruction. But God, whenever he destroys, it's always because he has a plan in mind. Amen. Whenever he allows destruction to come, it's because he has a plan and he has a purpose. Jeremiah 31:28. Shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict. Talking about a nation in the rebellion. He was going to tear them down. He was going to pluck them down, that they were going to be brought down to as low could be. Amen. To break down, to throw down, to destroy, to afflict. So will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So a perfect heart is a heart that is searchable before God. A perfect heart. Trust God completely with your life and your future. And a perfect heart is broken before God so that God can build back, so that God can restore, so that he can plant something new and he can build something new. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you have called us to this perfection. And Lord, we know that we are not perfect, but you have called us, Lord, to be pursuing after your heart. Oh God, to be like you. To be like you. Lord, to submit our lives to allow you to do a work in us. Oh Lord, give us a clean heart. Give us a perfect heart. Lord, help us to be willing to allow you to examine us in every area of our life. Oh, God, help us to be willing to allow you, Lord, to work in us, that we would trust you completely with every detail of our life. And, Lord, that we would believe that you can take our brokenness and all that has been torn down. And, Lord, that you have allowed it to be so that something great and new can be planted and built in our lives. We trust you, Lord. Lord, and give us that kind of a perfect heart toward you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand, if you would stand with me. I pray that the Lord is speaking and dealing with you. Are there areas of your heart that you're just holding back? You're not allowing the Lord to truly inspect and examine. You're holding back in areas of your life. You're not willing to completely trust God with your life and your future. You've got your hand on it. You're trying to order it. you're trying to direct it, but God is saying, no, let me do it. Let me do it. And come before the Lord with a broken and a contrite spirit. He won't despise that kind of a heart. No, but he'll be close to you. He'll be near to you as you humble yourself before the Lord. He'll be near to you, and he'll begin to do new things and to plant and to rebuild and to restore those areas of your life according to his plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you be willing to let the Lord do that? Would you be willing to place your life in his hands? He's trustworthy. He knows all about you. He knows your potential. He knows your future. He's called you. His hand is upon you. You say, I don't know if God could ever use me. Well, the first verse that we read from Genesis 17, that covenant with Abraham, if you reread the text there, Abraham was 99 years old when he received that Abrahamic covenant. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, whatever phase of your life, whatever age, doesn't really make any difference. Your life is in the hand of the Lord, and he's trustworthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you would, just bow your heads with me for a moment. Is there anyone here today? And you'll just confess before God here in this altar service this morning that there's areas of your life that you have withheld from God. You're just not allowing him to deal with you in those areas. You're not listening. You're not in tune with the voice of the Lord. But this morning, you want to hear God's voice, and you want to yield to his will for your life. Anybody? Anybody here today? You lift up your hand. You want God's will and purpose to be accomplished. Anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if there are those of you here today before we leave this place. Is there anyone that you find yourself in a situation where you can't see hope, you can't see any answer to your circumstance? You need help from the Lord to see what God is wanting to do. Anybody? You just need prayer. You need help from the Lord. Anybody in this meeting today? You need help from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your word and how that you're talking to us, dealing with us. Help us, Lord God, to be a person that makes ourselves available to you for whatever you want to do and however you want to work in us. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, minister every life, every person in this service. Praise the Lord. Altars are open. If you want to come and pray, I invite you to come. As many of you as can, find an altar, make an altar there at your seat. Come here to the front. Let's pray together for a little while before we leave this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.